So when it comes to representation on screen then, what we're talking about is that there's more black actors and actresses on TV now than ever before. And maybe we're going to get to a stage where it will become the norm.
You just have a really great story that happens to have black and brown actors.
Digital learning that's dramatically different. Welcome to this TED Learning podcast.
Hiya and welcome to the TED Learning podcast. I'm Lou and you're also going to hear from my sister Jocelyn. We're here to chat to you about the things that inspire us during Black History Month. What do you want to do next, Joss? You pick one.
How black people are depicted in screen and in images and in film and in photography as well.
Is there a particular example, something you've seen?
We had the passing of some legends recently, so Earl Cameron, Sidney Poitier, Mona Hammond. So all the work they did in film, obviously I'm passionate about film and TV, and those early roles that they've done has then helped to blaze the trail for like Idris Elba to come through and to do some of the work that
Daniel
they're
Kaluuya.
Doing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and it's paved the way, but often their stories are forgotten. Because it feels like such a long time ago, the 1940s and 50s, which does tie into Black History Month and Windrush, coming and settling and going into a profession where they weren't deemed as actors.
Yeah. So why is it so important?
Well, I think it's really important because we can look forward and look at, say, the likes of Idris Elba, who is doing fantastically, but the way was paved by the likes of, say, Earl Cameron, who did so much screen and acting work and died fairly recently. Even small roles that he did in things like, there was a Bond film he was in, there were some stage roles he was in. I think he was involved in one of the first interracial kisses on Black British TV. So I think it's really important that the likes of Earl Cameron, Mona Hammond, even Sidney Poitier in the States, you know, the work that he did, and they all came from very humble beginnings. But represented a different kind of way of living and acting. I'm sure many of the actors we have now wouldn't have imagined that they could enter that world without having that blueprint.
So when it comes to representation on screen then, what we're talking about is, do you think it's increased that there's more black actors and actresses on TV now than ever before? And maybe we're going to get to a stage where it will become the norm. You know, it will just be a case of you're not looking to actually figure out that, it's more representation on screen. It's just actors and actresses. Is that what we're trying to get to, do you think?
I think it'd be really important if we got to that place. But I think what's quite interesting is that, I don't know about yourself, but certainly when I see black actors and certainly black Caribbean actors appearing on stage, on screen, or hearing their voice on the radio and you can hear the accent, it still makes my heart leap a little bit. I still feel really excited. And I think for the younger generations coming through, it won't be such a thing. It will just be Daniel Kaluuya's won an Oscar and he's in the film Nope. And what I like about the film Nope by Jordan Peele is everybody is positioned in a way that it's not about necessarily the black lived experience. It's just about an experience they're having where they're seeing these this other life form potentially appearing on the work they're doing. But their ethnicity is a factor, but it's not the driving force of the story. And that's really where we need to get to. That you just have a really great story that happens to have black and brown actors. And that's where the colourblind casting comes in. And I know sometimes people kick against it. Yeah. So something like Bridgerton is a game changer, really, because you don't have to wait for it just to be just white Regency look.
Yeah, it's so different.
Yeah, and actually, people use Windrush as a landmark, but there were black people in the UK way before that, going back to Elizabethan, the first Elizabethan age that we had. So there's something to be said at people looking more thoroughly and deeply so that they can see that if you're making a period drama, you don't just have to stick with one type of person.
Yeah, yeah. I think when I watched the most recent James Bond film with Daniel Craig, and obviously it's left it very much, no spoilers, but it's left it very much at a kind of end in terms of, who could take on the role? Will it, in terms of, will it be a woman, for example? And the fact that it was a black woman, when I saw that in the cinema, and, she was kind of like 007's kind of almost rival, but almost sidekick. And I loved how she was quite sassy, but also very smart and very switched on and was almost there to kind of help him out. because you didn't see that before in a Bond film, where it's almost the woman who rescues him, but also she was bringing her A game. And I thought it was quite interesting casting. Again, they made it a black woman. I was like, oh, this is good. Because we don't often see this in that role. Mm. You know, the powerful, the she can be sexy and alluring, but she can also kick butt when she needed to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I loved that. And especially when the first time they introduced her character, it was in Jamaica. So you saw in a setting that you would associate with her, but then you also saw in some other settings in the film that you were like, wow, this is powerful. And I left there thinking, yeah, I like this. I'm not going to join MI5, but I actually like what they did with that character and how they presented it in the scripting and the characterizations and the personality of her. I thought it was brilliant.
And actually, I was thrilled when Naomi Harris was then,
Moneypenny.
In the role of Moneypenny. Yeah. I've always felt the role of Moneypenny needed to be bigger and stronger. So then when they got her out from behind the desk and she was doing and I'd like to see if she's then still Moneypenny in the next one, that she's doing even more, not just from the point of view of a woman, but as a black woman.
Yeah.
And we know in the workplace, you know, there are often times where we're carrying an awful lot of work, we're doing an awful lot of things, but it's not always recognised. So starting to see those reinforcements on screen will make a big difference. But I was also going to mention the V&A have got some archive photography exhibitions.
Oh, Victorian Albert Museum.
That's right.
Yep.
And
okay.
It also just shows sort of the breadth of black British history in the UK. And it shows how people have lived and the different things that have happened. And it's often somebody from the black community just decided to catalogue, you know, this experience, whether it was a dance, whether it was a protest, whether it was just being in the workplace. And what it really shows is the different ways that we've lived over the years. So there's not one way of being black, or there's not one way of being in a particular job.
Yeah.
So the more that we can see that on screen, the more that we can see that in photography, the more that we can see that in art, it's going to really shift these perceptions that we are not bright enough, smart enough, clever enough to do some of the wider things. I'm always proud to see you know, black people in the music industry and sports, but actually I want us to be known for not only for what we can do with our bodies, but what we can do with our minds and what we bring to every situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's so important.
Absolutely. I think what's quite interesting is, you'll know better than me, but a lot of the film institutions that are well recognised, like BFI, they celebrate black film quite a lot, and it's always quite nice, and they tend to bring films that I wouldn't necessarily know from the mainstream cinemas, but kind of almost like documentary stories or a different side to a story that you wouldn't necessarily have heard. And I like when that happens as well, because it just presents something different to that tells a story about lives that even we're learning about. Even though, you know, we live the black experience, we don't necessarily always know all the stories and the perspectives as others. So when BFI and places like that do film festivals, it's brilliant.
It
opens up your world.
It's really great. But what's interesting is when they look at films that black British experience, a lot of them are based in sort of the 80s and 90s. So whether it's Baby Mother, Burning Illusion, great films, but I'm asking the question, well, where are the films about the last sort of 10, 20 years? And maybe it's as a filmmaker and producer, maybe it's people like me who need to get that made.
Get the camera out.
Because I find it really interesting that when they do a black British retrospective of film, it's not really, or if it is stuff from the last 5, 10 years, it's Top Boy, it's Blue Story, great films, but actually it's not the life that me and my family live. And it shows a very kind of nuanced part of growing up black and British in the UK. It's that there are stories that need to be shared, and it's great, but actually it's not the full picture.
Yeah.
And it concerns me at times that a film distributor will put that in 20 cinemas, but something that's just more about kind of everyday life.
Yeah.
Doesn't always get the coverage. So, and that, again, is where the representation of how we are seen as a people needs to change. Because the things all about strife and trouble and tough times are important, but it's not the only way that we live.
Yeah, so. And there's more to be celebrated and acknowledged.
Yes, definitely.
That's all from us. You can search the TED Learning podcast or go to the website, tedlearning.co.uk.